Back in the 5 o'clock hour of downtown, it's now officially the weekend across eastern and central Maine. Brian Stackpole, Ryan Waning with you here on a Football Friday, getting you ready for the upcoming University of Maine Black Bear football game against the Boston College Eagles. It should be a great one to start off the season, an FBS foe for the Black Bears. And we've been getting you ready all week long with the likes of John Meter Perrell, Jack Cosgrove, among many others. But we're going to continue to do so as we now are joined on the Tiller and Rye phone line by a good friend of downtown. It's Eric Avedon of the Metro West Daily News. He covers the Red Sox and the Boston College Eagles for that fine publication. And he now joins us via that Tiller and Rye phone line. Eric, welcome back to downtown.
It's good to be with you, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm very excited as well. Now that we have the whole Tom Brady Deflategate thing behind us, to look forward to football that matters on the gridiron. And BC Maine coming up this weekend, tomorrow to be specific. And you wrote about it and also about some situations concerning the BC team and quarterback Darius Wade, how it doesn't seem like Coach Addazio is enamored with Wade right now as the starter, and actually gave Troy Flutie a whole bunch of reps with the first team on Wednesday's practice. Is that more telling about his indecision about Wade as the number one guy, or is it more about just getting some reps for some guys who could see some action tomorrow?
It's hard to tell. On the surface, Addazio said he was just getting reps for the two backups, Troy Flutie and Jeff Smith, guys who have never played in a game. Flutie's a redshirt freshman. Jeff Smith is a true freshman. And, you know, they could be one snap away from playing at any time, you know, if Darius Wade were to get injured. You know, so that's legitimate. But then there were some other things that went on in the last week or so that just kind of raised some red flags about how Addazio feels about Wade. Last Friday, I was down there and asked Addazio a question about Wade's poise, and before I could even get the question out, Addazio cut me off and started talking about how poise can be just a code word for a lack of aggressiveness, and it seemed to me like he was delivering a little bit of a message about Wade without specifically saying so. Then this week, he made the quarterbacks off limits to the media, so no questions could be asked to the quarterback. He's never done that before in his two-plus years as the coach. So he didn't give Wade a huge vote of confidence on Monday. He said, you know, when asked about Wade, he said that the competition remains very close, that Wade is a little bit ahead of the other guys, but not much. So it all just sort of added up to me to Addazio has Wade named as his starter, but that Flutie or Jeff Smith, you know, could get into the game, could get into any game in the first few if Wade struggles. So it'll be an interesting situation to watch.
When any FBS opponent plays an FCS team, inevitably that boils down to depth. What's a position at the Boston College that really is a super strength for them as far as their depth goes?
Running back, no question about it. They have John Hilleman is the number one back. He was a true freshman last year, true sophomore this year, ran for 860 yards and 13 touchdowns. But behind him, they've got another true sophomore, Marcus Outlow, who gained 400 yards, somewhere in that range, and then two others, two juniors, Tyler Rouse and Miles Willis, all four of them have been productive. Before Hilleman got to campus, Rouse and Willis were the starters 2 years ago. They were the ones who split snaps. So that's a position of real strength. Now the question, one position of potential real weakness, however, is offensive line with four new starters from last year's team. So running back obviously is, you know, success at running back is contingent upon there being a little space for them to run through. So if BC's line doesn't come together particularly well, then that strength at running back could be nullified. But that is one area where they've got great depth.
Yeah, Eric, that was actually my next question, was where was some of the inconsistencies in depth, some problems there? And the offensive line definitely did lose a lot of great pieces last year.
Yep.
So going into the season as an offensive game plan with all the depth of great running backs, is that where their bread and butter is going to be on the ground, unless forced to throw it through the air with some of these younger quarterbacks behind the offensive line this year?
Yeah, I think that's how BC has historically been, even when they've had an experienced quarterback. You know, an exception being Matt Ryan's senior year when he was really cut loose, and Chase Reddick 1 year was cut loose. But pretty much without it, with those two exceptions, DC has always been a run first team and a power run first team. They like to try and impose their will, and if they can't, then they'll react. But if they can, they'll just stick with it and just grind the game away.
Take me through a scenario for tomorrow afternoon. If you were a BC fan through and through, and not just media, how would you see this playing out through, let's say, three quarters until the depth thing starts to rear its head?
I wouldn't be surprised if it plays out a little bit like last year's game did. If you recall, Maine, I think, scored first, and it was 10-7 after the first quarter. I think BC led 10-7. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was still close throughout the first half, and then BC starts to pull away a little bit. But I don't expect it to wind up like last year when it was ultimately 40-10. I think it'll be closer than that, given BC's profound inexperience at quarterback and the offensive line. I think if they're going to score, it's going to be more sustained drives. It's not going to be the kind of quick hitters that that you need in order to run a score up into the 40s. So, maybe a 24-7, 24-10 kind of game, something like that. It wouldn't surprise me.
Is there an X factor that people in the know around the program, that guys like us from way up here wouldn't know about, that you expect will make a significant difference?
Well, that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. Well, you know what? BC is actually quite – the kicking situation is unsettled. But the rest of the special teams are actually quite good. The return games in particular, Willis, who I mentioned earlier, Miles Willis, the running back, is one of the better kickoff return guys in the country. And Sherman Alston, who's a wide receiver, was excellent on punt returns last year. So special teams is not something that generally gets brought up. It's not something that you think about. You think about the offense, you think about the defense, how these two match up against each other. But BC special teams, with the exception of place kicking, is a real strength of the team.
We're talking with Eric Avedon of the Metro West Daily News. BC football taking on the University of Maine Black Bears in the season opener tomorrow at 1 p.m. The Black Bears going for their first victory against the Eagles in 100 years. It's been triple digits since the last one back in 1915. Now, Eric, I have to ask you a question. It's now the third full season coming up for head coach Steve Addazio. How has his tenure been perceived so far by the fan base in Chestnut Hill after back-to-back 7-6 seasons and also back-to-back losses in bowl games?
I think they're ecstatic with Addazio. Before he got there, the team was in a free fall. Its record had declined every season from the year they went. It was either 10-3 or 11-3. I think it was 2007. And every year since then, it had declined, finally bottoming out in 2012 with a 2-10 record. So for Addazio to come in and go 7-6 that first year was a huge surprise. You know, you kind of expected maybe 4-8, 5-7. For him to get the team to a bowl was a big win. And then to back that up after a strong senior class had graduated, to back that up with another bowl appearance, was also some real success. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of a step back this year, given how young the offense in particular is. But it's a step back in order to take two or three steps forward. Two or three years from now, you know, Wade is going to be Wade or Flutie or Jeff Smith, whomever winds up as the quarterback ultimately, is going to be an upperclassman with experience. And all those linemen who are in their first year this year, they're just going to grow together, and 2-3 years down the road, it's just going to be a beastly offensive line. So this year, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a struggle to reach 500 and qualify for a bowl. But the year after that, and then the year after that, BC could be contending in the ACC Atlantic Division, given how young they are right now and how they'll all grow together.
Eric, before I let you go, we have to touch a little bit on the Red Sox here, and I got a burning question for you. Yeah. Joe Kelly and Rick Porcello have been pitching lights out recently, and yeah. I'm a little perplexed because they were absolutely awful in the beginning of the season. Is this more so that they're trying to audition for Dave Dombrowski? Is it that the pressure's off, or do they actually finally find the form that we thought they would achieve back in April?
Well, I think there's definitely a sense of urgency now. with the new regime in there. And it's forced Porcello, for example. You know, he had strayed from the two-seam fastball, which was his bread and butter throughout his career. You know, he fell in love with his four-seam fastball. And with Cherington there, you know, maybe it just keeps on trying it. But with Dombrowski suddenly there, the guy who traded him away from the Tigers last offseason, you know, it had to wake him up a little bit. And Kelly, you know, Kelly's always had all this talent, and it's just been a matter of putting it together and finding the right mix. And he, you know, he's done it for a month now. I'm still waiting to see with Joe Kelly. I mean, I'm still waiting to see with Rick Porcello as well, but there's a little more of a track record coming into this year with Porcello than there is with Kelly. I think sense of urgency definitely has something to do with it. With Dombrowski there now, I think everyone's on alert.
Eric Avedon of the Metro West Daily News joining us here on Downtown. Eric, thanks again for your time. I, for one, and Ryan can agree with me, I'm sure here, I cannot wait for 1 p.m. tomorrow because I'm tired of talking about the Red Sox, the dismal, abysmal season that they've had. I'm looking forward to some football and, you know, what we actually get some that matter tomorrow. So thanks again for the time and the great insight on the BC Eagles, and best of luck. Say hi to Rich for us.
Yeah, I hope to see him tomorrow. Yeah, that'd be great. And Brian, I thank you guys always for the time. I really appreciate coming on with you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Eric. We'll talk to you in a little while, I guess. Yeah, we'll check in with you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Eric Avedon of the Metro West Daily News joining us here on Downtown, giving us some good information, some great information on the BC Eagles as we get ready for kickoff on 1 p.m. tomorrow. I'm so excited.
It's going to be pretty sweet.
It's nice, especially when you can enjoy it outside. You can, you know, pop your radio onto the Black Bear Sports Network, listen to Rich Kimball and Bob Lucy, you know, wax poetically about the Maine Black Bears looking for their first victory in 100 years. Will it happen? Time will tell. But I'm at least excited to have football that matters. And thanks again to Eric for his time. And he's our Boston Insider today. And our Boston Insider is always brought to you by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength. You can find them online at crossagency.com. We got to take a break, but the favorite segment of Ryan Waning is coming up right next.
What's it going to be?
Right after this. You know what that is?
It's going to be Bob.
It's the game plan with
sweet,
Bob Lucy.
Sweet, sweet.
It's coming back for another season, and it'll be back when we come back from this break. But before we do that, we got to check in with our weather. WLBZ meteorologist Steve McKay has our weather forecast, which is brought to you by Van Sickle Kia. Hurry in for their summer clearance events going on now. Find them on Hogan Road in Bangor next to the Olive Garden. Here's our weather forecast with Steve McKay.
Downtown forecast clear tonight, heading out for a high school football game.